searching for happiness. This the way to go. You say you want peace. This the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live. This the way to go.
The show.
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 You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
When you consider our two verses in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, again, King Solomon is building his wife a house. And according to verse number 13, in the process of him building his wife's house, he sends for a man by the name of Hermon. And I want to deal with Hermon, according to the text, from a historical point, because there are some things that young people need to know and understand as it relates to Hermon's life and apply it to your own life. Now, Hermon's name means noble. Hermon was a noble man, because in scripture, names were given based upon events as well as the character that the parents desired the child to have. And so Hermon was a noble man. To be noble means to be someone who is honorable. He was someone that was respectful. Bottom line, he was a man of integrity. As a young person, especially a child of God, likewise, you and I should possess integrity. We should be the type of people that have high standards, morals that are good and godly. That's what you consider to be a person of integrity. Someone that is noble, again, young folk, is respectful. You should be known, first of all, as someone who respects God more than anyone in your life. You should be known as a young woman or a young man that is reverent towards God. You fear God. You know God is your judge. You know God is your Lord, and you respect him. You gonna praise him. You gonna worship him because you understand that's what he is looking for. He's looking for true worshipers, and you have so much respect for him. No matter how cute you are in your outfit, you still gonna worship him. You respect God. But your respect is not only toward God, who you can't see. You should respect people who you can see. As a child of God, you should not disrespect people, especially your parents. Even when your parents get on your last nerve, your reserve nerve, you should still be respectful. I can't tell you how many young people I have counseled, talked to, and so forth that say they say, but are very disrespectful. But see, when you are noble, you are a respectful young person. You don't smack your teeth at your mama. You don't slam doors at authoritative figures in your life. You don't talk to folk at school any old kind of way, just because they may be the principal, the teacher, a substitute, the lunch lady, or the janitor. No, you're respectful. Paul meant it so much, he had to tell some young folk in the book of Colossians and in the book of Ephesians. He said, look, children, you obey your parents in the Lord. You respect them. You honor them. And that's what you and I should be known for. Am I right about it? You should be the young person that yes, ma'am, no, ma'am is a part of your vocabulary. Yes, sir, no, sir, is a part of your vocabulary. You don't call grown folk by their first name. No, you Mr. and Miss, auntie, uncle, you are you're respectful. You're respectful. Is that some good teaching this morning? Even in my grown age, as a grown man, I still make sure that I am respectful. I have to respect these ministers. These are God's servants. I respect you as a young person. Even though you may be 20 years younger than me, I still need to show you some respect. And some folks say, well, you got to earn respect. You got to give respect to get respect. Look, whether somebody give you respect or not, you remember that, look, you serve the Lord. And you be respectful. Somebody ought to shout, praise the Lord. You look in scripture, you see folk like Job, who was known for being respectful. He respected God, even though his wife didn't want him to. You look at people like David. He was known for being respectful. He knew Saul was trying to kill him, and he had the opportunity to kill him for trying to kill him. But he said, no, I can't do it. That's the Lord's king. That's the Lord's anointed. I got to respect the king. Look at somebody said, we got to be respectful. Yeah, and you look at verses like Proverbs 11 and 3. Let's look at that real quick. Proverbs 11 and 3. Y'all still with me? It says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. See, when you have integrity, according to the verse, it will guide you. You'll be to the point to where you'll be like, no, I got too much respect for myself to do this. I got too much respect for my mama to do this in her house. I got too much respect for my daddy to take his car and to go someplace else. So you have to be like that, young folk. My mama used to tell me, look, don't have nobody in my house when I ain't here. And even though I wasn't saved, I had to respect mama's house. Now, I didn't always respect it, and she didn't know about it. But at least I strive. But as a child of God, we need to uphold our parents' rules. Integrity will guide you. Y'all see it in the text? I ain't getting too much help from a young folk, but I know I'm right. Look at somebody and say, integrity will guide you. Yeah, respect yourself. Respect yourself. Respect God. Respect others. Now, as we continue to learn about Hermon, we understand his name means what? Noble. He was an honorable man, a man of integrity, a respectful man. In our text, it goes on to let us know that Hermon, in verse 13, was from Tyre. Where was Hermon from? He was from Tyre. Now, Tyre, young folk, back during this time, was known for being a territory that had abundant resources. Abundant resources. Valuable resources. There were certain trees that you could only get in Tyre. Yeah. There were other certain raw materials that were only available in Tyre. Tyre was also known for having very skilled people living in that terrain, gifted folk that could do things that others couldn't do, talented folk. So it was resourceful and had talented folk in the region. But Tyre was also known for being a stronghold, a city that was very fortified. You weren't just gonna run up in Tyre and get what you wanted. No, it was a fortified region. And this speaks to us as young people. Remember, the scripture is written for our learning. As a young woman and as a young man, you need to identify what is valuable about you. And you need to protect it at all costs. You need to identify what makes you special. What makes you productive? What are your assets as a young person? Is it that God has gifted you to sing? God has gifted you to draw? God has gifted you to help people? You go above and beyond to be a help to others? What is it that God has placed on the inside of you that makes you valuable? And once you identify what makes you valuable as a person, then again, like Tyre, you need to protect that. You don't let anybody treat you any kind of way. You are protecting your assets. You have to realize that you are important to God. You are important to society. You are valuable to your church, to your ministry, to your family, and you have to protect it. You have to protect it. You don't let anybody talk to you or treat you any old kind of way. You don't get involved in any and everything. Why? You are anointed. You are valuable. You don't let guys rub up on your body any old. No. This is valuable. These cookies stand in the pack. They stand fresh. My cookies ain't going to get stale. Oh, no. It's valuable. I said, this is valuable. And young folks, you got to know how to protect your assets. You got to know how to protect what is valuable. When you look throughout scripture, people like Paul had to teach the church. Look, you got to know how to possess your vessel. You're valuable. Oh, man, let me show it to y'all. Y'all still with me? I'm going to show it to you. Let's go to the book of Thessalonians. Lord have mercy. 1 Thessalonians. Y'all hurry up. We got a lot to do. Y'all flip real quick. Scroll real fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to go ahead and start. Y'all too slow for me. For this is the will of God. Notice your sanctification that you should notice. Abstain from sexual immorality. He said, look, that each of you should know how to possess your own vessel or body in sanctification and in honor. See, you got to know how to protect your sexuality. You don't let the world, you don't let a celebrity, you don't let the internet tell you what you should and should not do with your body. You look at the word, you listen to God's prophet, and you live according to that, and you protect what God has given you. Boy, that's some good teaching. Look at somebody say, you got to protect it. Yeah, and it's just not your sexuality, even though that's very important. But there are a number of things you need to consider valuable and you protect it. See, some of you young adults, you need to protect your financial history, your credit. You need to protect that. You don't go out here and do no dumb stuff, wasting money, not taking care of money and messing up your name. No, you protect that. Somebody bless you with a car, you take care of it. Now, ain't going to be no smoking in my car. Nah, we going to wash this car, vacuum this car, and we ain't going to listen to that kind of music in the car. God bless me. Well, we are going to we're going to protect. We have to be just like Tyre. Is this helping anybody? Now, the text in verse 14 gets a little bit more specific. Hermon was from Tyre, but he was of the tribe of Naphtali. That's how we're going to say that today. Naphtali. That's how we're going to say that. All right. His father had died. And so the text says he was the son of a widow of the tribe of Naphtali. Naphtali was known for fighting. These were aggressive folk. In fact, the name Naphtali means to wrestle. They are descendants of Jacob. They were, at one point in time, they were some of the ones that went with Joshua to get the promised land in Canaan. These folk were known for fighting. And see, as a young person, when it comes to being a spirit-filled Christian, you got to have some fight on the inside of you. I say you got to have some fight. You can't be one of the words our bishop liked to say. You can't be no jellyback. You can't be no weakling. Or I like to say, you can't be no sucker. You got to be ready to fight. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You got to be ready to fight as a child of God. When depression is trying to get a hold of you, you got to fight in prayer. You got to fight to get the word, because a good word will help defeat depression. When sickness is attacking your body, you got to be a fighter. You got to confess, I am healed. Healing is the children's bread. Lord, I'm feeling this sickness attacking me, but Lord, I'm going to fight with my words. By your stripes, I'm not healed. I was healed. I am healed. How many know your words have power? You got to fight when poverty and lack is trying to make you feel like you poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. You got to fight with some giving. You got to know God loves a cheerful giver. And if I give, he going to cause me into giving to my bosom. Help me out, young folk. Good. Press. Shout it. Shaking and running. And sometimes you can give for months, weeks, and years. But if you just keep on giving your harvest, if you don't get weary and well doing your harvest, it's going to be bigger and better. Oh, y'all in the vein with me this morning. It must be some fighters in here. I said it must be some folk that know how to fight and praise. It must be some young folk in here that know how to fight with holiness. It's some young folk in here know how to fight with their mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ought to shout, I'm a fighter. See, if you're going through something right now, God ain't going to come down and do everything. Some things, young folk, you got to fight. You got to put up your dukes, and you got to get on your prayer time. You got to get in your word time. You got to fight. You got to fight. Good God Almighty. How many know we ain't fighting by ourselves? We got the greater one on the inside of us. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help you fight. And somebody right now, God is touching you. Your rhema word, it's time for you to fight back. If you're going to fight when somebody talk about your mama, you need to fight when these demons get to messing with you. Look at somebody and say, you got to fight. All right, I got to teach. Y'all sit down. I got to teach this thing. So Hermon, his name means noble. He was from the territory called Tyre. His mother and his family was of the tribe of, how you say it? Oh, y'all with me, Naphtali. That's what we gonna say. But notice, then the text in verse 14, y'all still with me, brings up his father. His father was a bronze worker. What was his father? A bronze worker. I ain't never seen a bronze worker. But I can conclude it's somebody who work with bronze. Y'all see how Tyre was quick to answer that today? She on it. His father was a bronze worker. Now check this out. Hermon was also a bronze worker. His father was a bronze worker, and he is a bronze worker. What is this teaching us, young folk? as a child of God, you and I should have some similarities of our Father. And I'm not talking about your natural father. I'm talking about your spiritual father. Y'all write this down. I'm not going to go there. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Paul told the Corinthian church, though you have 1,000 or many instructors in Christ, you have one Father. You have one pastor. And then he goes on to say, I am your spiritual father. I begot you in the gospel. And see, as a child of God, as you mature in Christ, you should have the spirit of your God-sent pastor. See, I almost said you should have the spirit of your pastor, but every pastor is not God's pastor. If you know you have a God-sent pastor, if your pastor is imitating Christ, you should imitate your pastor or your father. You have your own personality. You have your own traits as an individual. But like Herman, you should have some similarities of your shepherd. You should have similarities of your shepherd. Pastor, about business, I need to have that same spirit. I need to be about business. Y'all fell off. My pastor, I can see, is a cheerful giver. If I got his spirit, I need to be a cheerful giver. Pastor older than me, but he come out here on fire, ready to give God the praise. Well, I'm young. I sure enough need to have the same spirit. I need to come out ready to give my God some praise. And that need to be in the church and outside the church. See, some young folk been up under their pastor for 5-10 years, but don't have similarities of their pastor. You don't. And see, God has set it up to where the church should imitate the shepherd as the shepherd imitates Christ. When you see Baker, you should see some evidence that I have been up under, obedient and submissive to my pastor, who is Walker. You should see Walker in me. You should see some similarities. Now, you look on the surface, he's short, I'm tall. Ain't going to be no similarity there. But there should be other similarities. Pastor, love God, folk. You should see, if Baker is up under him, he should love God's folk. Should have the same spirit. Pastor, make sure that the church is functioning properly. You should see Baker need to be. Does he make sure the MSW is functioning properly? Similar traits. But then when people and others look at you, it should be obvious. Man, they've been up under Baker. I can see Baker's spirit. Man, I can hear Baker's spirit. Peter had been following Jesus for some years. And how many remember at the end when Jesus was about to be crucified? When this woman walked up to Peter and said, hey, ain't you one of his disciples? And he denied the Lord 3 times. How many remember that? But in that same text, she said, after Peter denied the Lord, she said, yeah, you is one of his disciples. You sound just like Jesus. You talk like him. Peter wasn't mature, but he had started taking on his pastor's spirit. Same thing needs to happen. Praise team, you need to have your pastor's spirit. Ministers, when you get up to MC, receive an offering, pray, you need to have your pastor's spirit. You get up to do a presentation, you need to have your pastor's spirit. You get your pastor's spirit basically by imitating what you see him doing. How many of y'all see it in the text? Now, I'm just going to pause for the cause and say, that's some good teaching. I got to throw that in there because y'all ain't amening it, but it's all right. That is some good teaching. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. And so, verse 14 starts to reveal some traits, some fundamentals, some essentials that Herman possesses. And he has what I call the big three. Three important traits that Herman possesses. And Herman don't need to be the only one. We need to possess them. See, the Miami Heat don't need to be the only ones that got the big three. The Brooklyn Nets, they don't need to be the only ones who have a big three. You know, they got KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. That's what they call the big three. But see, you need to have your own big three. You need to have three important fundamentals or traits that are a part of your makeup. Look at somebody say, I got to have my own big three. That's it. And the big three we're going to look at, they're going to be according to the Bible. So let's look at them. I had you recite them. But look at the text again. Let's go to the text. Let me read it. And it says, let's start at he, the midpoint of verse 14. He was filled with wisdom, understanding, and skill in working. Now, before we deal with the three, look at that small third word. He was filled. Herman was filled. Herman was filled. We need to be equipped. He was equipped. He possessed these three traits. He was clothed. They were a part of his makeup. He was filled. One of the primary things we need to be filled with is what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit. We need to be, help me, filled. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, these big three traits, they're going to come along with the Holy Spirit. So let's look at these three according to our verse, 1 Kings 7 and 14. How many receiving the word? The first one, wisdom. Herman was filled with wisdom. Sound judgment. He was able to discern what could help him and what would hurt him. And as a young person, you need to be able to determine, is this thing or person helpful or harmful? And you don't need to do like some young folk, look at what is helpful as harmful. That's what some young folk, even some grown folk, they look at God's church as being hurtful. But the Bible says there's help in the sanctuary. There's strength in the sanctuary. God's church was set up to help, not to hurt. You have to have, and I have to have, discernment. If I buy this, will this help me? If I buy this, will it hurt me? And if you make the correct choice, that says you have wisdom. Is this girl, is she good for me? Is this guy, is he good for me? You have to discern that. Because you can't call pastor on every little decision. I'm not God. And you can't reach your mama sometime when you need to. She ain't God. You have to be filled with wisdom. Do I need to go to school when I graduate? Or not? You got to make a wise choice. You got to make a wise choice. Do I need to go off or do I need to stay local? It's your choice. You need to make a wise choice. Wisdom also is what comes from God's mouth. From his mouth, Proverbs 2:6 says, come wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom, it says. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding equate what? Wisdom. Let's try it again for this section. Knowledge and understanding equate wisdom. And when I apply it, that says about me that I'm wise. When I hear knowledge and understanding from the mouth of God and I do it, I'm a wise person. Even if they say I'm lame, I'm wise according to the Bible. Even if they call me old fashioned, hey, call me what you want. The Bible say I'm wise. Because I'm applying knowledge and understanding. So let's look at what the Bible says about wisdom. Because young folk need wisdom in every aspect of life. Not just church things, but in every aspect. You need to be wise with money, relationships, what you take in your body. Every pill ain't good for you. You need to be wise. Lord, do I need to take this? And if he tell you, yeah, make a wise choice and take it. But if he tell you, no, don't be on that dumb stuff and go take it anyway. Be wise. Wisdom, number one, young folk, is essential. Let's look at Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 4:7. We finna do some turning now. Y'all ready? All right. Proverbs 4:7. Y'all prove to me y'all got it. And let's read. Read it with some authority. We're going to read the first part. Proverbs 4:7. Ready? Go. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, some of y'all ain't with us. Oh, you can't read English. Let's try again. Ready? Go. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is important, young folk. Wisdom is important. And you need to get wisdom. You need to get it. Lord, I want to do the right thing. What should I do? Get wisdom. It is important. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't be wise, the Bible says, in your own eyes. Get God's wisdom. Are y'all hearing me? Just because you have the money to buy something, that don't mean you need to buy it. But you can flip it. Just because you don't have the money to get a certain thing, that don't mean you shouldn't possess it. Because God can tell you to get something that you naturally speaking at that time don't have the money for. Well, Lord, I ain't got all the money, but I know you telling me to get this. I know you telling me to get this. You being obedient, he mess around and give it to you. And you ain't got to pay nothing. He told Israel, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. You ain't even build them, but I'm going to give it to you. Some folk don't like wisdom. I said some folk don't like wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, Lord of mercy. Proverbs 1:7, and let's learn something else about wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. Talk back to me. Y'all ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools hate wisdom. Fools hate wisdom. Fools be like, let me do what I want to do. Fools be like, look, just because you did it, that don't mean I'm going to do it. Let me live my life. That's how a fool be talking. If I'm trying to give you some instructions that's going to keep you from messing up, but you want to see for yourself, that's a fool. Let me see for myself. What you mean you need to see? I'm telling you that that's not a good choice. but fools hate wisdom. I lost my help on that one. Let's try to read that. But help me. But fools despise wisdom. And don't y'all think just because somebody called minister, that minister can't be no fool. It's some foolish ministers. It is. You be like, look, you don't need to do that. Guess what they do? I got to obey God. You on that dumb stuff. If pastor telling you don't need to do it, that's God indirectly telling you you don't need to do it. But you got ministers be like, man, I got to do what the Spirit telling me. Man, you a fool. That's what you is. A straight up fool. Fools hate wisdom. Hate it. Man, I think you need to wait for you do that right there. I'm going to do it. All right. Hey, you need to do this right now. No, I need to wait. A fool is wise in his own eyes. Fools hate, help me, wisdom. Let's go and get this out the way. Who ever been a fool before? But see, in 2021 and beyond, we don't need to be like that. We don't need to be on that dumb stuff. We don't need to hate wisdom. We need to love wisdom. Whether it comes from God's mouth or from another legitimate source, we need to receive and embrace wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 10. I told y'all we're going to roll. Y'all still with me? All right. I'm trying to teach it in such a way to where when you leave here, you stay conscious of God so you don't be on that dumb stuff. You be like, Lord, I need to be filled with some wisdom. Sound judgment and doing knowledge and understanding that comes from your mouth. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many. But help me, fools die for lack of wisdom. So if we don't operate in wisdom, we gonna what? We gonna die. Gonna come to ruin. Gonna waste money. End up in unnecessary trouble for a lack of wisdom. For a lack of wisdom. All right. You don't want to listen? You got to pay. How many know you're gonna reap what you sow? Death is a part of life, but I don't want to die before my time. I don't want unnecessary ruin. Because I'm on that dumb stuff. Young folk, take it from me. Baker has been on dumb stuff before. And I experienced ruin because I did not have wisdom. Okay? And I told y'all, if you lack wisdom, ask God or ask somebody you know that got a relationship with God. And God is the type of person that when he sees that you ask him for something, he gonna make sure you get it. We just have to obey it. Are you with me? What do we need to be filled with? Lord, what do we need to be filled with over here? Wisdom. Thank you, y'all. Second thing, understanding. I'm going to leave wisdom alone. I'm going to leave it alone. No, I can't. Let me look at this last one. No. Proverbs 8:18. Y'all just read it right here. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. How many see in that verse that wisdom will improve your life? Yeah, riches, not just money, even though it includes money. But when a person is wise, they're going to be productive. Y'all see it in the text? Understanding. Grasping the will of God. Recognizing how you should think. Come on. Talk. And act. All right, let's go to the book of Proverbs 8:14. Proverbs 8:14. Let's look at understanding. Proverbs 8:14. Counsel, help me, young folk, is mine. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. Talk to us, understanding. I have strength. Understanding gives strength. Understanding will give you power. Understanding will give you the ability to do what needs to be done. When you have understanding, look, I got to do this. I got understanding. Oh, I got to bring God his money. I understand. I got to pray. If I don't pray, I'm gonna faint. I got to pray. And if I pray, I'm going to have some strength because I understand the power of prayer. I don't need to hang around her. I understand. She ain't no good. I don't need to hang around her. I don't need to hang around her. I don't need to tell her my business. See, if you tell the wrong folk your business, your life going to be drama filled. And you're going to be trying to put out fires all the time. Because when you tell your business to the wrong folk, you'll be like, man, every day is some mess going on in my life. You don't understand. You need to quit talking to her. Understanding gives you strength. And you'll be like, man, I feel so much better now that I don't tell my business to so-and-so. Understanding gives you strength. You can be happily married if you have understanding. Paul told one church, he said, look, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. So you got to get to a point where you understand women. Women are, I think, one of God's most beautiful creatures, creations. Y'all hear first? Like, you right. Let's see how she respond on this one. But women are complex. Women are complex. They'll tell you at 3 o'clock, they feel good. At 3:02, they'll tell you it's too hot in here. You go adjust the temperature. At 3:04, ooh, it's too cold in it, man. Y'all got a lot going on. Complex. It's complex. You want to go out to eat? Yeah, I want to go out to eat. Where you want? Wherever you want to go out to eat. Okay, wherever I want. That's what you said. Wherever I want to go. You pick a place. I don't want that. But you, but you said. Complex. Complex, man. You got to dwell with them with so you'll have some strength. You go ahead and order your plate with the understanding. She may try to eat off my plate. No matter what she order, her fork going to make its way to my, just have women or something. Awesome creatures, but just, you got to understand. And it take time, young brothers. Y'all hear me, young brothers? Y'all better get this wisdom. It's free game. It take time, young brothers, to learn women. It do. Don't be like, yeah, man, I'm a player. I know. No. No. Woo! The sister should have said, you right, Pastor. You right. Y'all see, brother, y'all see how funny they act? I make a point. They laugh. Hey, man, go on, Pastor. But we love, let's give these sisters a hand clap. But we love the sisters. Y'all see how I fixed that? All right. So understanding gives you what? Strength. Understanding gives you strength. Lacking understanding will cause you pain. Lacking understanding will cause you, that's why you need to be filled with understanding. Look at Proverbs 10:13. Just follow me right here. For the sake of time. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has what? Understanding. But a rod, y'all help me out, is for the back of him who is devoid or lacks understanding. Now, who want to be my example of a rod on the back? No, sir, right? I got a belt on. Who wants to come up here and let me just take this belt on your back? No. Especially us videotaping. Oh, no. youth pastor slashes children at now. Now. But what I'm trying to get us to see is that the rod on the back is going to be something that's what? Painful. It's going to hurt. If you lack understanding, or I lack understanding, we're going to experience some pain. You got to understand, as a young man, it's just certain folk you don't need to hang around. It's just certain folk you don't need to fool with. When you start to discern, man, these guys ain't no good. But this is who everybody consider cool. If you trying to be cool and accept it, you're going to mess yourself up. You don't really understand. I told my boys, I love y'all, but don't call me. Don't call me from jail. Don't do it. Don't call me. Look at somebody saying, don't call pastor. That's it. Don't call me. I said, if you on that dumb stuff and you get locked up, that's just saying you ain't had no understanding. And maybe you can get some back there, but don't call me. Call your mama, but don't call me. So she ain't going to pick up. A lack of understanding causes pain. Sex is a wonderful thing. God created sex, so it is wonderful. He said everything he created is good. So sex is good. Somebody said, let me write that down. Sex is. No, this is what they're going to do. They're going to say, pastor said sex is good. I can see y'all at home right now arguing with y'all. No, but pastor said. No. Yeah, sex, God created it for a certain time. Right? And you need to understand, if you get involved with it outside of the will of God, you can cause yourself some pain. Physical, financial, mental, and we could just go on down the line. So you just want to be to the point, young people, where you have understanding. You need to understand that when you young and got money and your peers don't have money, you need to understand they're going to try to use you. And if you are trying to please your friends, you're going to be broke. Finish the equation. Like your friends. You don't tell your friends about all of your money and income and possessions. You don't post that stuff on Instagram and Snapchat. You got to have understanding. God bless you with a car. Look, tell certain folk, but don't tell everybody. Look, man, I just got this lump, man. Look at God blessing me. Let's count it out. You counting it on social media? Don't you understand? This folk looking to rob folk that's on that dumb stuff. You need to have understanding. Folk will follow you. Folk know where you live. And even when you bring folk over your house, it's just certain parts of the house you don't even take your peers. You sit right here. Can I come to your room? No. I got stuff in my room you don't need to know about. They don't need to see your underwear, your bras. They don't need to see your little money, your video games. They don't need to see that. They don't need to see all that. You need to have understanding. Everybody, I say it all the time, everybody don't need your phone number. Everybody don't need your phone number. Get you one of them apps that give out a free texting number. That's the number you give. But don't give them your main number. Don't do everybody. You need to understand. When you lack understanding, it will cause you pain. Some of you, y'all stay with me. You don't let everybody move into your apartment. You don't let everybody room with you. You don't loan certain folk your clothes, your cars, and so forth. Have understanding. You bought that and you like, man, I can't find it. Your friend got it and wearing it. Have understanding. You unnecessary pain. And most young folk, they lack understanding when it comes to how to deal with people. But see, teaching like this, understanding will keep you. It'll give you discretion. It'll help you. How many like teaching like this? That's it. You thank God for stuff like this. Don't want that rod. Before Kevin Hart made it popular, my parents used to say that, look, you ain't learned, but you're going to learn today. Turn around. Just wear me out. No, you're going to learn. I told you, boy. Stop him. No, you're going to learn. You gonna do this? You hear me talking to you? Give me your hand. You said shut up. Just wear me out. Can't talk. Understanding causes, or lack of understanding causes pain. You see, some of y'all spoil. You ain't get whippings. Boy, you get a whooping and your parent trying to talk to you at the same time. And they be like, say something. And you trying to say something, shut up when I'm doing, shut up. You be like, oh, God, I don't know, I'm just confused. The last thing he was filled with, what were the first two things Herman was filled with? What was the first thing? Come on, I'm teaching it right. What was the second thing? And in my clothes, y'all give me about 6 minutes. The text says that he was filled with skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. He was filled with skill and good work ethic. Herman was a wise man, a man with understanding, but he had skill and good work ethic. He wasn't a lazy man. Like so many young people you see in this generation, just do not like to work. Don't want to work. Sitting around waiting on a check from different sources. No. In you as a child of God, you need to have the mind that, look, I got to be like the ant. I got to work. I just can't sit around and do nothing or do something that's unproductive. Just sitting around playing on my phone all day. No, you need to find something to put your hands to. Find a craft, a skill, and master that thing. If you're going to play on some video games, at least, well, Lord, can I set me up a channel and do something? Something where I can get me a following and make some money or something. But have good work ethic. Be the type of person that if it's your week to clean the kitchen, it's done right. You don't just put the dishes up. You got good work ethic. You wipe the counters, sweep the floor, clean the refrigerator off, take the trash out. You do it the way you was taught. You got good work ethic. Good work ethic. You're not lazy. You master whatever you put your hand to. Because I'm going to tell you, you have to be careful as a young person. Because there are women, they got good work ethic. But they hook up with men that don't. And then you end up seeing the woman carrying the man. I hope y'all don't grow up to be like that. You can't tell right now. It's too early right now, but I hope y'all don't grow up to be like that, ladies. You don't do that. You don't do that. You a man need to work. That's what the Bible say, brothers. Now my brothers ain't talking to me. You don't want to be a young man that's just sorry. You don't want to be that. You want to be a man that has good work. You don't want to just dress nice. That's a good young man. Well, all he can do is dress. That's all he can do. Keep his hair cut, but he ain't got no job. Or he got a different job every 4 weeks. No, work. A man don't work. Man don't eat. Work. Work. If you're going to wash the car, wash it right. If you're going to clean the kitchen, clean it. If you're going to clean the bathroom, clean it. Clean it right. Good work ethic. Good work ethic. Good work ethic. Because see, what happened is young folk and grown folk, they'll bring that work ethic or try to bring it into God's house. Oh, no. Pastor ain't having that. I got to oversee this. No, we're going to keep the sound room right. We're going to keep the sanctuary right. Alma Bears, we're going to be on it. We're going to do our job right. Am I right about it? Even as pastor, you need to look at me as pastor and be like, man, is pastor working? Is he rightly dividing the word of God? Is he studying? My presentation every week should be an example of good work, of good work ethic. Good work ethic. I know you can probably put it sometime. He put the wrong scripture up there. Okay, I ain't perfect. But can you say, pastor gives me knowledge and understanding every week. Every time he gives me knowledge and understanding. Good work ethic. Y'all hear me? That's how we need to be. Your parents need to know you got good work ethic. But you need to know you have good work ethic. What I love about this in my clothes is that this man specialized in working in one thing. He was excellent, elite at working with bronze. A lesson, young people, find one thing in your life and master that. Master that one thing. If it's doing hair, you master being the best beautician, stylist you can be. Just master that right now. Master that. If you're good with electronics, find the type of electronics that you enjoy and master that. If it's taking pictures, master taking pictures. Become the best at that one area. And see, what will happen is God will step in and your gift, the Bible says, will make room for you. There's a young lady, I'm closing with this, in one of the connection churches. The pastor wanted to start doing social media at the church. And so the pastor got with me and I was telling him some things they could do. And he was asking me for some advice on video and so forth. So I showed the pastor the basics. The pastor learned it. But then said, look, I need to find somebody in the church that can do this. So he found a young lady in the church. Say, look, this is what I want you to do. With the social media, the videos, and this. Just master. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And you're going to begin to grow. So the young lady in the church, she began to do that. Good work at every service. Rona hit, she was still doing it. She was still doing it online, in the church, and so forth. And so at the time, the young lady was looking for a job. She wanted a better job, shall I say. So somebody in the church saw what she was doing with the video and the social media. And they just so happened to be at work, and somebody at the young man's job asked him, man, who is doing that video and social media? He said, oh, it's a sister at the church. He said, for real? I need her contact information. So the company got in contact with the young girl and said, look, what you doing out there at your church, we need that done within our corporation. We don't even have a job, but we gonna make a job for you. We want you to do the same thing you doing at church with our corporation. and we're going to pay you over $60,000 a year to do it. We're going to give you the computer. We're going to give you the software. We're going to give you whatever you need. The young lady accepted the job and is doing that very thing for that corporation. Then the last time I talked to the person, they were telling me that the corporation said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fly you throughout the country. Or we plan to. We want you to teach this to the other locations throughout the country. You specialize. You young folk, you need to use your time right now to do what I said in the beginning of the message. Find that one thing in your life that's valuable and master that. Have good work ethic. Don't let a day go by that you're not doing something to make your craft better. People may not recognize it right now. People may not be giving you your props, but you just get good at that one thing. And look what happened to Herman. The king heard about him. The king said, bring him to me and let me give him a job. And you know King Solomon was very wealthy. And he had integrity. He could put him to work and not worry about him stealing anything. He didn't have to worry about him messing nothing up. Why? He had good work ethic and he was noble. The prophetic word that God is giving you today, do the same thing, young folk. God shows no respect of person. And watch God cause your gift to make room for you. How many understand the big three of the Bible? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the message.